everlasting arms.
Please be seated. Now we'll have our Bible reading.
Make sure I got my verses correct here. Revelation chapter 22, that's the last chapter in the end of the book, verses 14 through 19. 14 through 19. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
I appreciate Brother James reading those verses from Revelation chapter 22. They coincide with the things we talked about in our first lesson this morning about the necessity and the importance of following the instructions that we find in God's Word. Certainly, throughout the Bible, we are warned that if we do not obey the Word of God, there's going to be consequences. We're encouraged and exhorted and commanded to read the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, and to obey the Word of God, which boils down to one thing: following His instructions by faith, keeping the faith, and keeping it until death. In the latter book there in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, talks about those that keep His commandments, and blessed are those who keep His commands or do His commands. And He goes on to say why those are blessed that keep His command, those who follow His instructions and obey them, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So in the place where we are going as faithful Christians, where God will place us through His grace and mercy, is in heaven, a place where there's no sin, no sorrow, no darkness. There's no suffering, no pain, no sorrow, no tears, for all will be taken away. There'll be joy. And there'll be praising God forever and ever with the saints, the saved, forever. And forever is never ending. So our goal is heaven. God wants us to go to heaven. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants me to go to heaven. And there's a reason for that. Because outside is all manner of wickedness. And He talked about that in verse 15, that outside there are those that are immoral, those that have not obeyed God, those that do not love the truth, and those that love to obey lies. The disobedient, those who do not follow God's instructions, those with a lack of faith, a disobedient faith, those who never come to God, those are going to reap punishment from the Father because He does not accept those who does not believe in Him and obey Him. So we may be thankful this morning that we have the Word of God that gives us not only the information we need about God, who He is and what He's done for us and what He does for us, what He continues to do for us, and the information of what He expects and requires of us in our life, and then the ultimate outcome of either heaven or hell. So God has blessed us with all the information we need. Our duty then is to receive that information and believe it, and then follow the instructions given. This morning, if you remember, we talked about two different examples in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, and the instructions they were given you know, to dress and keep the garden and don't eat the fruit of the tree of the midst of the garden. For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And we talked about the fact that the serpent, he beguiled Eve. She took the fruit. She ate it, gave her fruit. Husband, he ate. And so they sinned. Their eyes were open. They recognized good from evil. They went and hid themselves. And God punished them. He pushed them out from the tree of life, separated themselves from the wonderful Garden of Eden, that he would, through the sweat of his brow, suffer and die physically, that the woman would also suffer and go through things in life. So they separated themselves from God by sin. And what brought that on was giving in to temptation that was before them by the serpent. And then she gave to him and he ate. And so they failed to follow the instructions that God had given them. In disobedience, he punished them. Nadab and Abihu, they were Levitical priests, and they were offering strange fire on the altar. We went back and read this morning the instructions of who was to offer fire and the type of fire that was to be offered. And when they offered strange fire or profane fire, as some would some verses put it, they were struck dead. They lost their lives because they failed to follow instructions. So let's go ahead this morning and look at some other examples in the Bible. And there are many examples showing us that if we fail to follow the instructions that God gives us, there are consequences. There are punishment. There is punishment that will happen, not only perhaps in this life, but also in the life to come if we continue in our obedience. And when we think about failing to follow the instructions of God and believing him by faith and obeying him, when we disobey him, we bring sin on ourselves and we can cause problems for others. And a sin doesn't just happen sometimes by an individual, between two individuals, or between that individual and God. It sometimes has extenuating circumstances also relating to other people. And so a sin by a person can affect themselves and other people, those that they may be committing the sin with, or those around them, and the consequences can affect entire families, in entire congregations. And so there's a reason we need to follow instructions so that we can avoid sin, overcome sin, obey God, and then not cause others to sin also or bring problems on others. So another example we found this morning, if you look with me to Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, God gave Moses some instructions and some things to do before the children of Israel. And we see that failure to follow the instructions that God gave him. Now, Moses, we know, was the leader of Israel, handpicked by God. He led them out of Egyptian bondage with his brother Aaron on God's instructions. God provided the way out, and Moses led them. Now, Moses was their leader, but he was a man. And we see that this mistake in his life, failure to follow instructions, cost him or prevented him, did not allow him to go in to set his feet in the promised land that God had promised to Abraham and his seed. So it prevented him from going into the land of Canaan. And although he did get to see it, he didn't get to go into that land with the people that were able to go after all the years of wandering and those that died off and then the giving of the land. He did not get to go. So failure to follow instructions kept Moses from entering the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. Let's notice the instructions that God gave to Moses. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation. There was no water for the congregation, so they gathered in together against Moses and Aaron. And the people continued with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, and we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then, verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. What instructions did God tell him? Go with your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Simple instructions. Thus, you will bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses did part of what God said. Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now God kept his part of what was given in those instructions. Moses, speak to the rock, and I'll bring forth water for the people. Well, Moses, he lifted his hand, verse 11, and struck the rock. That was not part of the instructions. Moses, speak to the rock before the people, and he will bring forth water. He struck the rock, and water came out above the congregation, and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said to them, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." You think that from a human standpoint, you know, God, well, I told me to speak to the rock. "But hear ye, rebels," and he struck the rock. The striking of the rock was not part of the instructions. Therefore, Moses failed to follow the instructions. And he said, "You will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given thee." Turn over with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34, if you will, and let's look to the fact that here is God letting Moses have an opportunity to view the land, but God kept his promise and his punishment to Moses. He did not get to enter the promised land which he looked for. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. We've looked at three examples this morning: Adam and Eve, Nadab and Abihu, and now Moses, who failed to follow instructions from God and was punished because of a failure to obey. It's important that you and I today see the lessons that are found in the Bible, look around and understand who God is, get into His Word and read, because the instructions He gives, as I mentioned in the earlier lesson, are in a form and in a writing on a level that if we're old enough to understand right from wrong and be responsible for our sins, we can understand the Word of God. We can understand it, and then if we understand it, we'll be able to follow the instructions. God did not give us instructions that cannot be kept, because they can. He gave us instructions that can be kept if we will keep them, if we will by faith listen to what He says. So failure to follow instructions has caused a lot of people problems. And as we read in Revelation 22 this morning, as James read, it's going to cause some issues for some people at the end of time, because they will not be able to enter the gates of heaven because of what? Failure to follow instructions, lack of faith, various reasons, not coming to God by obedience. It's important that I understand that here's God's Word. It's real, it's alive, it's quick and powerful, and the Word of God brings me to God through faith. And I can't please God without faith. And in that faith, I must have obedient faith. That means following instructions. Let's go now to 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you will. And another very familiar example to most everyone who is Christians and have studied the Old Testament much at all. 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul, the first king of Israel, he lost his place as king. I left the word lost out. Because Saul, well, he lost his place, but because Saul, his place is king. He lost that leadership role because he failed to follow instructions. I'll insert this at this point in the lesson this morning, and I apologize to those last Sunday morning that could not see the board. I didn't realize it until I came up here to get my computer after the service was over, and I started to turn the light and the computer off, and I realized the light was still on. And so I turned it off for a reason. If the light is on while you're preaching, you cannot see this. You can't read it. And so we either preach without the light so you can see the overhead, or we just leave it off and don't use it. Now, either way is fine with me. So I have no problem either way. I can preach with it or without it. But if it's a tool that helps, we'll continue to use it. If not, then I can preach without it and turn the light on, and I can see much better with the light on than I can with it off. But anyway, that's what happened last week. So that's why I turned it off just now. So you could see the points on the board. So if you bear with me on that, I hope it's a tool that we can use. We don't have to use it all the time. Use it some of the time if needed, or we can use it none of the time and just use the Word of God, because our goal here is to take the Word of God and follow it and obey it in our worship, in our activities, in our individual life. The Word of God is what's important, not the PowerPoint. But if it's going to be used, we have to use it in a way so we can see it, or there's no need of having it. That's like the Bible. There's no need of having a Bible if we're not going to study it and read it and learn it and follow its instructions, correct? So I wanted you to let you know why I turned the light out. So here we go back to King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. And this is a familiar reading, but we'll just begin in verse 1 and look at some of the verses down through the chapter until we get to the point that shows that Saul, then, as king of Israel, disobeyed God, failed to follow the instructions given. So the Lord sent, Samuel said, the Lord sent me, verse 1, to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. So we begin in verse 1, understanding that Samuel came to tell Saul, you're the king of Israel, you're king of his people, so your job is to follow instructions. Your job is to heed the voice of the Lord. Saul, you need to follow the instructions. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, here's the instructions that was given to Saul from Samuel so he would know what God wanted him to do. Instructions given, verse 3. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing, child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Those instructions are fairly clear. Not only are they fairly clear, they are precise on what God instructed him to do. Well, that's what he could have done and should have done. So Moses, Saul went, and he came to the city, and he went into this place, the Amalekites. And then verse 7, he attacked the Amalekites, and he chased them around and followed them to the east. And then verse 8, notice, he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. Well, that's number one. He didn't utterly destroy all of them. He took old Agag alive, and God said, destroy them all. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. So he utterly destroyed some parts of it, but he let Agag have a reprieve. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Well, here he is. God told you, go in and destroy it all. Well, I'm gonna keep Agag. And the people, and we're going to keep the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings and lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to destroy them. Think about that a minute. That's a human impulse. This is something good for me, a human being. The Lord said do this, but this will be good for us. Look at these good sheep. Look at all these good things. Why? We don't want to destroy these good things, but everything else we'll destroy. The Lord said, utterly destroy. And so, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroy. So mankind, oftentimes in the Bible and today, we have a tendency as human beings to say, you know, I know God says this, but I think that it'd be better if I hold on to this, although he said let it go, because I can get some good out of it. We're thinking on physical terms. We're thinking on material terms. We're thinking on terms of the earth and not on things above. When we get to we're thinking on our own when we ought not to think on our own. We ought to think on God's things and apply those things to our thinking so we actually do what he tells us to do. So anyway, you see what they did. So verse 12, Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. That's verse 12 of 1 Samuel 15. Then Samuel, verse 13, went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, does that not sound like a lot of people that you talk to today religiously? They'll go and they'll worship God on the first day of the week, or they'll have some kind of religious activity, and they'll say, look what we have done. We have worshiped God. But in their worship on the first day of the week, they did not observe the Lord's Supper, which is a command for Christians to do. They just leave it off. They feel like that once a year, every quarter is good enough. Oh, but we have worshiped God. Well, worship God without the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week is not doing all that God said. Then there are those who will, they'll have a revival and a midweek service, a Tuesday night service. At the end, they'll think of an offering. What do we offer up to God of what we have been talking on? The first day of the week, let each one of you lay by in store as God has proffered him, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth that you see, human beings have a tendency to say, God says worship him, but we're going to leave out what we want to do. And we're going to put into it what we want to do. If we want to play stringed instruments and an organ and a piano, we'll play that along with our music, although God says we're to sing, make a melody in our heart unto the Lord, not singing what? But singing. And so, what about that? Are people following the instructions? Well, they feel like they are because they feel good about it. Things they do, they feel good about it. It makes us feel good. The music makes us feel good in the worship of God. Feeling good about something does not make it right. Saul felt pretty good about what he did. The people felt pretty good, apparently, about what they did. We're keeping these good things. We're going to keep the best, but God said do it, destroy it all. And see, when we go into our own ideas and say, I'm going to follow my own instructions. If someone came forward this morning and said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, confesses that, and repents of their sins, and wants to be baptized, buried, and then they say, well, you know, I would rather not go into the waters and be immersed. I'll keep you sprinkled. And I say, okay, I'll sprinkle you. The first thing I've done, I have disobeyed God's instructions, because he says to be baptized in the waters of baptism that represents the believer, the blood of Christ. Baptism is a burial. It is an immersion. It shows that from the old to the new. John 6:3-4. And we are buried with him by baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. What about that? There are people who feel good about sprinkling for baptism because they don't have to worry about enough water to immerse. It's convenient for both the recipient and the one administering it. And so, but that's a failure to follow instructions on what God says. In baptism, it's an immersion. And so, here's King Saul now. So they go ahead and they did all these things. And look at verse 13. Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, had he? We know he hadn't. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Here we go again, the blame game that we talked about in the Garden of Eden, that we talked about in various times already this morning. the blame game. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to me, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and say, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed, utterly destroyed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? You see, when people get in their own mind that I can do this, even though I wasn't told to, and it'd be okay, that's the devil. That's Satan. That's temptation. That's manifestation of fleshly things that pulls us away. We've got to learn to control our lusts and our ideals and understand that what God says goes. And so he goes on in verse 19. Why then did you not obey the voice of the king? Why did you swoop down with spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission. Well, he did go on the mission on which the Lord sent me. Yes, he went on the mission and brought back Agag, king of Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So he went on the mission and brought back Agag. So he broke the command of God by bringing him back. He said, utterly destroy it. But the people, here it is, a blame game again. When people sin, we have a tendency to always blame somebody. Oh, it was my wife that caused it. It was my husband that caused it. It was my parents that caused it. Or it was those members of the church that caused it. They were just so strict. Oh, I just got caught up in a weak moment. We can blame whoever we want to and whatever we want to, but excuses are just that. They're not reasons. They're just excuses, and they won't stand up. But let's get back to this. So he talks about verse 19 again. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Well, he goes on. And verse 21 says, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, after all that uproar and going back and forth with the conversation, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of his Lord, that is, following instructions? Behold, to obey, that is, follow the instructions, is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Saul, it don't matter about all these good sheep and all these good rams and all this good stuff you brought back. They may be good, but God said destroy them, and all that, whatever good they were, there's not any good for you because you took all that out by disobeying God. You did not heed his voice. It's better to heed his voice than it is to bring back these lambs and these sheep and everything that you think's good. It's better to heed the Lord's voice than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what happens when God's instructions are not followed. That's what happens when we hear the word of God and refuse to obey it. We rebel, we become stubborn, and it says iniquity and idolatry. And verse 23, mid-verse, Samuel said to Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Well, Saul realized at that point that he had sinned. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. How many times today do we or the other people transgress the law of the Lord or fail to obey the instructions of the Lord because we fear the people? We fear the crowds. We fear society. We fear that we might step on someone's toes. We fear that someone might get angry at us for standing up for what's right. That's what our society wants us to do today. That's what our society is trying to drive down our throats right now and has been trying to do for several years, is drive down Christians' minds and throats to say, you don't dare attend on the first day of the week. You don't dare mention the Word of God in your school. You don't dare offer up a prayer in public. And they're driving it down their throats. And what are we doing? We're backing away. We're backing away a little bit of time. And they backed us into a corner. They backed us into a corner because they don't want to heed the words of God. I must not let others, society or whoever, back me into a corner where I decide that, well, I'm going to dabble in what they want me to dabble in and leave some of God's stuff off so it don't offend them. What about you? Do we realize the impact it has on our own life, the impact it has on others when we fail to follow instructions? He said, I've sinned. I've transgressed. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. Our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgiven. When we repent, we confess, and we pray, when we do it by faith and we do it with an honest and good heart, God will forgive us. But it means that we're going to turn from that sin and we're going to get away from it and we're going to quit doing it and no longer walk in it, or else we fail to follow His instructions again and we're right back where we come from. If someone's living in adultery and they leave that adulterous marriage, then they can't go back into that marriage or they'll be in adultery again, right? Yes, that's right. If someone's been lying and stealing and cheating others, and then they repent and ask for forgiveness and they go right back and start lying and cheating again, they fall right back where they were. They fail to follow the instructions. Well, let's go on and reiterate again. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. I got to remember where we got to this morning in this lesson so I can start next Sunday morning on the next point. Let's read our Bibles. Let's study our Bibles. Let's believe the Bible. Because obedience to God is important. Matthew 7 to verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father by heaven, in heaven. We do it by faith because we believe that God is real, that He's alive, that He's who He is, that His Son is who He is, the Holy Spirit is who He is, and the Word of God is what it is. We believe that to the point we follow the instructions. And when we do, we have forgiveness of our sins. We can serve God faithfully. And if we make a mistake, turn from that mistake, ask God to forgive us, and stay away from that mistake, and go forward. If we make another mistake, we do the same thing. And we go stronger, growing in the Word of God every day, being faithful to Him, following His instructions. And if we do, we'll hear Him say in the last day, come ye blessed of my Father, enter the joys of the Lord. He's prepared a place for us. Are you prepared to go there? If you haven't been baptized and you need to do so this morning, we can assist you in that. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the Lord, you haven't followed His instructions, it may be that you have failed to do it or you've gone beyond and broke it. Either way, if you'll come out of that sin and repent and pray, God will forgive you and you can leave this building following the instructions of God. If you need to respond, please come while we stand and sing.
We walk with our